Hi, this is Jamie from Energy Therapy. I'm here with Swami Brahmananda Saraswati to talk about the happiness formula today. Hello, Swamiji.
Namaste, Jamie. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Namaste, everyone.
Great. Namaste, Swamiji. Swamiji, I've got some questions for you. So I think it'll be very interesting. We're communicating to our audience about this wonderful course you've got coming up called The Happiness Formula. And I want to talk to the audience about your background a little bit. So I believe you were raised in India at a very from a young age. And at age four, you began studying with some ascended masters in an ashram in the Himalayas. So you studied with them for many years, and at a very young age of 12, you started to teach yoga and meditation at the ashram's yoga school. So I just wondered if you could just say a little bit about that and explain, you know, how that period of your life informed impressions upon you and how that's pivotal to the teachings you're bringing today.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I love to talk about those days. So I was born in central India to a very simple family, and actually in a very small village in the middle of jungles. And I'm very grateful to my family, to my parents especially. I think they are, you know, two of the most amazing people in the world. And I was very lucky that at young age four, they introduced me to the ashram in Himalayas, actually, you know, where our lineage comes from. It's the Sankracharya Ashram in Josimath, Uttarakhand. And I really enjoyed it. It was a beautiful place. I mean, for a kid, if you give monkeys and jungles and rivers and strange-looking people, you know, bald-headed monks and, you know, big bearded monks. It's lots of fun. So I really, you know, it was easy transition as a kid for me. And every day life was simple there. You wake up around 4:30, 5 in the morning. You go to a lecture. You meditate. And then you start your day. And then there were classes where I will go and formally learn the ancient practices of yoga and meditation and Ayurveda. And then during the day, there was normal school, the regular subjects that, you know, everybody studies in the world. And that was my life for the first 20 years of my life. And every day, I was having so much fun. Actually, somewhere along the line, as I was growing up in the ashram, I started to notice the world around me. And a lot of people from all over the world come to Himalayas, as you know. And I was a curious kid, so I'll ask them because it was curious to me that, okay, this is my home, so I'm here, but there are so many people from so many places. Why aren't they here? So I'll go ask them, why are you here? And many people will answer, they are here to find happiness. But when they were leaving, I'll ask them, have you found it yet? And most people will say, no. So
They were searching, but they didn't find it in their short time there, of course. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, but of course, you were happy. So how did you sort of relate your happiness to their, I suppose, unhappiness in a way? Because you had quite an isolated life in a way initially. And, you know, people growing up in different parts of the world who are not lucky enough to grow up in an ashram with such wonderful training and such a fun environment. You know, how did you bridge the gap between, you know, your state of awareness or consciousness and you know, helping others?
Yeah, it was so as I say, I was curious about people's purpose. And when people will tell me, most of them leaving, that they haven't found it, essentially, there's a lot of time, there will be a lot of beating around the bush that, well, you know, still looking for it takes lifetimes and all that.
I was going to say, so mental concepts that they've read or learned somewhere that it takes a lifetime. Yeah. Okay. So what did you say to that?
Well, I wasn't going to settle for that because I was only certain about this lifetime as a kid. I had no idea that, you know, what more or less. And if you can't make it in this lifetime, then I think we don't have a very efficient system. So I went to my master and I asked him that, hey, you know, I like being happy and monkeying around, and all these people that come, they're kind of starting to scare me, and I don't want to grow up to be, you know, unhappy. So he would laugh it off, and I talked to him about 3-4 times, and after that I said, look, I'm dead serious. You know, you're laughing it, but I am really scared. Help me. So he said, okay, you have nothing to worry about. Take this formula, apply it, and you'll be always happy. And then he gave me the formula. And, you know, from the young age, I started learning that specific training that had to do just with happiness. And it's magical. It works, you know, and it's very simple. I applied it every single day since then in my life. And I cannot complain. I have had a very happy life.
Okay. And have you found, obviously, since leaving the ashram, you know, life throws challenges at you. So most people having, you know, the daily job or the daily grind, they call it sometimes, you know, they have children and they're managing jobs and they're paying their mortgage and there's all kinds of things going on for people, you know, and quite often life throws what I call curveballs at you, which I look at as personal opportunities for growth and awareness. And definitely, you know, in my personal life, I found happiness can be achieved in any situation, you know, no matter what the out, you know, how it looks. But how did you sort of help people understand that where you were coming from was an authentic place? Because obviously, you know, when people look at you, they go, oh, you know, you grew up in an ashram, and what do you know about the real world? And how do you, you know, how did you get your message across? How did you impress upon people that this formula works for them? Because they're going to say, oh, you know, we're not sure about that, because this is like an idealistic way of living. So what do you, yeah. So I'm sure you've heard this before. So it'd be good to get it out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, growing up in an ashram, you know, of course, the general picture is that you grew up isolated in this beautiful place. But that's not the real case. At least our ashram has been very active in public service in India. So as part of the service or the karma yoga, I had to travel, you know, different parts of India and actually live with people who are really, really struggling with so many things. You know, some of the poorest places where people don't have basic amenities, and you know, in the ashram, we will have everything, and then suddenly we are in these places and with the people who have very real challenges every day. They have to provide for their family. They don't have proper means. They are not properly educated, and it's tough for them. And we were there to really teach them meditation, yoga, and happiness. So you can understand the challenge, but actually the steps are very practical, and they are even more useful, I think, to the people who have these, which you will call, you know, quote-unquote, real-world problems, because the principles help you to overcome these obstacles that people end up thinking that these are the causes of my unhappiness, and really, you know, helps you put the life and the happiness and the idea of success and perspective, and helps you accomplish those things. So it works. And then I traveled, of course. I came to USA, and I'll share a personal story. So when I came to USA in 2009, I came here as a student, and I had some sponsors back in India. And the first 6 months, everything was good. And then my sponsor died. So okay. I was here in USA with, of course, I was a monk, so I had no money of my own. And my sponsor was gone. And I was...
So it was an interesting time for you.
Oh, yeah. 6 months in the school, and I had absolutely no money. And school, you know, it was about $35,000 that I had to pay every year, and plus room and board. So I was basically on the road, and I was not, you know, surprisingly, I wasn't feeling afraid. I wasn't feeling stressed. And I felt calm. And in 2 weeks, I just continued to apply my way of life and my principles. And everything mm-hmm. came back to normal. Some new people stepped in and offered to help. And I completed my whole school with no loans at all. So
you attribute the manifestation of your success, even though that was a difficult time for you, because of this inner calm and peace and applying the principles that you've learned.
Absolutely. Because, you see, and modern research shows this too, that usually, you know, we trick ourselves thinking that, oh, my circumstances are not right, so how can I be happy? But if you look in the research, you'll find that only 10% of our happiness is dependent on our circumstances. The remaining 90% is really about how we process our reality. So,
which is hugely important, and actually that's a real paradigm shift for most people because of their conditioned mind. And in fact, you know, you have a background in meditation and yoga and Ayurveda, but how is your background? Obviously that works for you, Swamiji, and you've obviously applied it to your life, and you've had lived a life showing people that they can have happiness because you're embracing that all the time. How are your teachings different to, for example, you know, you could go to a yoga class around the corner in most cities in America and the USA. The USA and the UK is what I meant to say. Canada and Asia, there's yoga schools all over the place right now, offering a lot of physical asana practice, but also there's meditation classes everywhere now. And so what's unique about, you know, your teachings? What do you bring to the table?
Well, first of all, I'm really happy that the world is becoming more conscious and there are more businesses and systems in place which can offer some sort of support to people. And Naked Moment is doing its little part in it. How we are unique, basically, in my travels around the world and growing up in the ashram, I learned that what people needed is a complete solution. Because out there, you searched and you'll find ocean of information. And it's really hard, you know, for many people to figure out that what is right for them, and even if it works, is it a complete solution? So I was interested in creating something that is complete, that is wholesome, and that somebody can apply with little effort in life. And if they just put even, you know, a short amount of time, like a month, they will see definite changes. And if they continue to apply it, they will definitely, you know, rise to the pinnacle of possible happiness in their life. So that's what's unique. We offer a very specific, proven formula for happiness, and it has three steps to it. And if people apply it, then it works. It works like magic.
Great. I mean, that sounds really exciting. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who'll benefit from, you know, from a complete solution, like you said. So instead of learning little bits here and there, if there's something that's complete and they can integrate into their lives, that's going to be wonderful for them. Obviously, it's a course they need to take, so you're not going to be able to talk about it in a few minutes, but maybe you could share just a little bit of insight into the actual process. Could you, you know, maybe talk about what the three parts are, just a brief overview, just so people get a taste for it?
Absolutely, Jamie. So, first of all, the very first overarching principle for happiness is to know our inner self and to have a connection with our inner being and our true purpose in life. Because unless we have that, we are not going to be happy. It's extremely, abundantly clear. Anybody who is living conscious will realize that. The complete focus, the overarching focus of the course is to help people to get in touch with their inner being in a very practical manner. There are techniques, there are lectures, there are steps that, you know, I personally guide people through in this course that will help them achieve that. And we do it, you know, through three steps. The first step is about creating balance in life. And the second step is about being constructive or taking a more constructive and creative direction in life. And step three is really about letting go of our ego and pride. So it really just comes down to those things at the end of it, if you sum it in a small equation. So knowing your inner being and having a balanced life, constructive life, and egoless life equals to sustainable happiness.
Wonderful. Well, sustainable is a, you know, a big word, buzzword, and most, you know, as humanity wakes up and becomes more conscious, you know, there's sustainable food now, so, and sustainable practices, you know, in terms of, you know, architecture and just living more, you know, a more connected life with the land, but to live a connected life and to be happy. Jennifer and I, my wife and I, we run energy therapy. We taught a lot of students ourselves, and we fully agree with this, that the inner self is paramount, and being egoless and getting rid of pride is absolutely essential for a harmonious and happy life. So it's great to hear that this is going to be a powerful bridge for people to get out of their conditioning. That's really wonderful. Now, you said as well, not on this call, but you've said in the past, one of your sayings is that we all have 100% freedom, and we also have 100% responsibility. Can you expand upon that for our audience and just give them some insight into that?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, the saying I created is based on Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. And it's a book that I really, really love, and I think has a lot to offer. And I say it because it's very straightforward in life. Anybody who's paying attention to life will know that ultimately it comes down to your actions in life. And you can create, you can manifest the positive realities or negative realities. It really all comes down to individual and us realizing that we have that ultimate control over our destiny, over our life. I think a lot of people don't realize that, and they end up giving too much power to external factors and environment, and the factors that are out of their control, and they end up thinking that, oh well, gee, I'm just a little person in this ocean of people in this whole world. And a lot of people don't feel like they have control over their destiny or their relationships or their work or their life. But I firmly believe that that's a lie that we get told by society, and then over time we start telling ourselves. And the part of the course is focused on helping people to gain back that power of being able to manifest their reality in their life. And I add the part responsibility because a lot of people want freedom. We all want control and freedom. But I think there is a second half to that story, and that is every time you have power, in the words of Spider-Man, you have responsibility.
And it's true. If we all take responsibility, the world, you know, the world will change, because then there won't be any blame. Today, I think one of the things that people get caught up in is a lot of blame energy, you know, who to point the finger at. And as a society moving forward, we can't be constructively moving forward if we're always pointing the finger at someone else. So I think it's really wonderful that people can learn that the two go hand in hand, you know, that the freedom and responsibility go hand in hand. I think it's really important.
Absolutely. And I tell my yoga students all the time when I'm teaching those classes that, look, it really going to come down to that, you know, you remember you have 100% freedom, but you are also going to be 100% responsible. So depending on a very simple thing, let's talk about diet, for example. You are free to eat whatever you want, but right. the results that come from it, you have to remember that it's your responsibility at the end of the day. So
right.
You can't forget about responsibility, and every time you take an action, you need to realize that it's an exercise in freedom, and it comes with responsibility.
Yeah, it's a very good analogy, and I think people have forgotten that to some degree. It's like through conditioning, you know, for example, taking your analogy of diet, that it becomes a habit or an unconscious habit, and people just eat what's kind of in front of them without being conscious. But when they see maybe negative results, you know, unhelpful results, the effects on their body and on their minds, they can choose differently and choose a new way of eating and a new path, and gain back their freedom and gain back their health, which is great. And I think that's really exciting for people on this journey, that they know that when they step onto this journey with a commitment, that they can really transform their lives from the inside out.
Absolutely.
So that's really, really wonderful.
Absolutely. And also, I think one more thing on that note is, I think a lot of people, they come to this threshold, this place in their life at some point where they do realize that something is amiss, and they need to change something. But there's not that many, still there's not that many support systems and resources out there, even though a lot of us are here and trying to help people. So, and also I think in the modern times in the society, somehow, reaching out for help and trying to get support is frowned upon. Somehow it's projected, or socially a conditioning is created where I feel the people feel ashamed almost, or people feel like, oh, I shouldn't really be asking for help. And I think that needs to change, because a lot of times me and you, if we are living this principle of 100% freedom and responsibility, we can say it. But for a person who's struggling, they need a little bit of hand-holding. They need a system where they can actually start becoming mindful of the power and control they have in their life and the responsibility that they can take. So, and I think that's important.
Hand-holding is really, it's a good, you know, a lovely way of putting it. And, you know, baby steps, taking small steps and then taking bigger ones as, you know, as they become more aware and more conscious. So this sounds fantastic, and it's going to be great to have you, you know, obviously your voice, your energy and your wisdom in these trainings, which is available for people for free. And then, of course, they can purchase the course if they want to, and that's fine. But obviously the initial teachings are free for them, which is a wonderful, wonderful offering. And, you know, we're really excited to share it with our audience. So we're hoping that many people will take advantage. But let's get to some questions just about sort of general questions now about happiness. So, you know, why does happiness matter? I mean, some people will go, happiness, haven't got time for it. I mean, why does it matter?
Well, Jamie, that's a loaded question and has a lot of angles to it. So let me start, one by one. The first aspect of happiness is, I think, just the understanding of happiness is important to answer this question. Because for many people, they get so disillusioned in life and, there's so much stress and anxiety that they start to think, happiness is just this lofty idea, it's a luxury that only some can afford. And also, their understanding of happiness is more like the yellow smiley emoji, which is not very accurate idea of happiness. Happiness, in my eyes, you know, what we are teaching in terms of happiness, isn't just about having a grin on the face. We are talking about these deeper emotions of joy, gratitude, serenity, interest, passion for life, hope, you know, amusement and awe and love. So these deep emotions, this whole constellation of positive emotions together, I think what is real happiness. And actually in ancient times, Greeks, they had a word, it was, you know, I always mispronounce it. It's called eudaimonia.
Okay, I'm not even going to say it, so I'll just let you say it.
So it's a eudaimonia, it's a word used by Aristotle for happiness, and the word doesn't directly translate into happiness. It means human flourishing. And, which means bringing forth all these positive aspects, like a little seed, flourishing it. So ultimately all these beautiful features come up and, it has a trunk, it has beautiful leaves and flowers and fruits. And in Sanskrit too, it's surprising the similarity. The term for happiness is prasannata, which means bringing forth the positive vibration and attributes of your inner reality. So that's what happiness is about.
That's lovely. I mean, I'm glad we covered it, because even though it's a loaded question, it defines happiness in a way that's grounded and applicable to life. Whereas, as you say, as you rightly pointed out, when some people think of happiness, they either think of happiness as a grin on the face or something illusory or fleeting. Or they'll even attribute happiness to like things like, I'll be happy when, and then there'll be some condition, like I'll have an ice, I have a house, or I have a family, or when I have £100,000 a year. So we're going beyond these kind of mundane constructs and looking at the core being and the essential being, which is really powerful and transcends the sort of day-to-day ephemeral moments of happiness that isn't real happiness, isn't genuine happiness. So I think this is really powerful for people to understand that, this course is not about something that you do so that you can just be happy for a moment and then it's gone. It's more substantial. It's more, it's actualizing happiness from within.
Yes, absolutely, Jamie. And the second aspect of your question, why happiness matters, has to do with something you just said, that this current idea of putting the happiness after a goalpost, saying that, I got to work hard, I got to accomplish ABC, and then I'll be happy. And this also, I often say this, and not from a place of anger towards society, but just an observation, that there's a lot of bad, myths or ideas there that are taken or promoted as truth. And one of them is that you got to suffer and work really hard and succeed. And then only you can be happy. And I think this theory is broken and backwards because, first of all, it doesn't work. and second, it's not the best way to approach either success or happiness. There's more efficient way, and science proves it now, and the knowledge has been there. I mean, all the great traditions and masters have said it again and again, that when you are happy, things go better in life. When you are more conscious, things go better in life. And now even science proves it, that when you are stressed, first of all, we are not living in jungles anymore. We don't have, our problems are not to face up tigers and lions. We live in a complex society, and our success really depends on how creative we are and how good we are at solving complex problems. And when we are stressed, our brain is not working at its maximum capacity. We are less creative. Mm-hmm. We are less likely to remember things. And our prefrontal cortex, which does all the reasoning, is unavailable to us. So all these things lead to, failure, actually, when you're stressed and you're trying too hard. But on the contrary, if you are happy, you are more creative, you are more likely to remember things. So and it forms a stronger relationships, which is huge in terms of success nowadays. And you're running a business, which requires connecting a lot of people. And people don't want to connect if you are not a pleasant person, if you don't have that, positive energy to offer.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true. And actually, one of the things that Jennifer and I are very passionate about is being, of service to others and acting from a place of integrity. And like you said, it's about meaningful connections. It's about being in that space or place where we can have a real conversation. And you know, today I think things are changing, but a lot of businesses, perhaps, you know, more of the egocentric businesses, the institutions that have been around for a long time that have a lot of money and power, they foster the belief, the false belief that, you know, you just do what it takes, or it doesn't make any difference whether you're happy or not, or how you treat people. And actually, that's the opposite of consciousness for us. So you talking about how success and happiness go together, for us, that's paramount. You know, you do the work, which I think is karma yoga anyway, you're of service. And then, you know, the fruits of your labor come automatically because of the energy of your action. So it's really, you know, it's really important for people to understand this. And I think if we can change it at the personal level, you know, if we have all of these little seeds that we're planting now in the consciousness of many people, the outer structures will change eventually.
Absolutely, Jamie. And I was just reading some statistics the other day, and this is from 2014, that it say that 50% people implies are unengaged, which means that they are uninspired at the work. And the 20% are actively disengaged, means they are completely unhappy at work. So which was like work 70% of workforce around the globe, completely, you know, disengaged and unenchanted by what they are doing, what they, you know, a big part of their life. And
which is obviously huge, because obviously so much of our life is geared around work, right? So if 70% of people are unhappy, that energy is creating the world we see today, right?
Absolutely. And you can see it in all different areas. You can see that the sheer lack of empathy, you know, in the way the modern markets are. And the cost really comes down to some, you know, at home is where everybody pays the cost for it. The things that really matter, whether it's time with your children or your loved ones, that's what gets undercut. And even when you are spending time, it becomes about superficial things, because that is what is being promoted as true value. And the thing about our brain and nervous system is whichever state you spend most time in, that's what you get wired to project, and you know, that becomes your first reaction. So if you spend a lot of time being unhappy and stressed and anxious, then that becomes your default mode. And then even when you are, you know, supposedly on vacation or relaxing or with the family, it's not pretty. And then you start thinking, right, geez, you know, how do I actually get to be happy?
Yeah, so this is going to be for me, you know, it's great to connect with you today, because, you know, your work's going to be instrumental in helping a lot of people. And, you know, it's a game changer, but it's coming from an authentic space, which is what we love. And, you know, we're really grateful to you for bringing this course out and working with Naked Moment. So that's a wonderful thing. And, you know, we're hoping that many people will listen to this recording, get the feel for your energy, for your, you know, your tone of voice, your message, and for your background. You know, you obviously have a lot to offer, Swamiji. So, you know, we're just really excited to get this work out there, because it deserves to be out there. And ultimately, you know, if people can become happy, authentically happy in their lives, we can really start to shift into a new paradigm. You know, the last... I think some political, I won't go into what they are, but political events and economic events of recent times have shown us that, as you said, the 70%, the people are unhappy, and they're sort of hoping that somebody else will save them. And that's not really going to happen. You know, we have to take responsibility. We have to embrace our freedom, and we have to change ourselves. And if everyone can become happy, then they're going to start seeing life in a very different way. And we're going to start making very different choices. So, you know, we're hoping for a more cohesive, uplifting, and conscious society. So, you know, we're very grateful to you for bringing that here today.
Absolutely, Jamie. It's a pleasure. You know, that this is what my life's work is. This is what I've been working for. And this is what brings me extreme happiness and pleasure in daily life, to be able to help anybody, you know, who's walking on this planet to, you know, even if I can help them just a little bit to actualize their potential, live their dream, and, you know, become empowered in their life and realize that they are in control and they can have it all. They can have their cake and eat it. They can be happy and successful. It just, you know, takes this very precise method that we offer. It's very simple, and you know, you can apply it every day. And step by steps, as you say, baby steps and big results.
Great, Swamiji. Well, that's really fantastic. You know, I mean, apart from the course itself, is there another way that you would invite users to connect with you, you know, via email or website, or is it, if there's anything else that you'd like to share? I mean, if not, that's absolutely fine, because obviously the course is going to be wonderful. But if you anything you'd like to say now, then by all means, you're welcome to share.
Yeah, absolutely. We have, of course, a website, nakedmoment.com, and yep. We, you know, continue to offer interesting stuff there, so people can definitely go and check that out. Also, people can go to Facebook page of Naked Moment, and it's basically nakedmoment.com, Facebook. They can find it at the website or just on Facebook. And,
okay.
You know, I go live there and talk about happiness, you know, I hope people join us, you know, we can, co-create happiness together and make the world a happier place. A lot of time, I think people, you know, get busy and then get anxious and don't see an end in sight or solution, and they overextend themselves, and, it can be avoided, and, they can actually, spend more quality time with their loved ones, and you know, do really what matters and be successful, and we want to help them with that. So,
right, and just, I mean, you mentioned the time factor. I should have maybe asked earlier, but just before we close, you know, what about people who say, "Oh, I don't have the time. You know, I'm too busy, and my, you know, I've got this, and I've got that, and I've got the kids, and I've got the job." You know, how much time would you say they really have to invest? Because they might be put off. Oh no, I have to meditate for an hour, or you know, there might be things going on in their head. You know, mental conversation. So, what could you say to help those people who feel time stressed?
Well, two things on that. One, that our course is highly streamlined. It is designed for a very busy and active lifestyle. Our models for this were New Yorkers, basically. You know, so like people who are in the hustle bustle of New York. I've been teaching here a lot, you know, for a lot of years now in the USA, and you know, a lot of work I do is in big cities like Seattle and New York. And so people don't have much time, but they don't have to. You know, it's really about taking the 30 minutes, you know, it will, you know, about 20 minutes to meditate, and maybe, you know, 10, 15 more minutes, and putting that much time. I mean, you got to realize you have 1,440 minutes in a day. So even if you spend 40 minutes, you know, on making yourself happier and more centered and more conscious, and that's a spread throughout the day. And then there is still 1,400 minutes left to do whatever you want. And that makes those remaining 1,400 minutes 3 times, 4 times, 10 times more enjoyable, more productive. So I think it's really worth the investment to put that much time. And especially for a person who thinks they don't have that kind of time, I think they really need to take a deep look, because ultimately you work hard for what, to what end? You know, to have beautiful relationships, to have happiness in life, and to be able to ultimately have, you know, some meaning in life. So if you're that busy that you don't even have 20 minutes to spend on yourself, I think you really, really need to, you know, look into your life and you know, make a decision that, you know, do you want to just continue to burn yourself out, or is it time to start living and being, you know, having a more meaningful life experience?
Yes, wonderful, Swamiji. Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure connecting with you today and having your story and your valuable insights. I know a lot of people are going to get a tremendous value from the course when it launches, and it's great that they can connect with you more as well, that they'll be able to get, you know, more teachings from you by connecting with you through the website and Facebook page. So thank you very much for being here with us at Energy Therapy. I've really enjoyed talking to you and sharing this time with you, I look forward to connecting with you in the future at some point.
Yes, Jamie, I really, really enjoyed our time together here. And I just want to say that I'm really, really grateful to you guys for the work you are doing. I really see, you know, a huge need, again, that, you know, our societies around the world have for more conscious people like you to do this kind of work and provide that, you know, alternative outlook and that positive outlook and support that, you know, our societies really need. Because I believe in the goodness of humanity. I believe that human beings are inherently born to be good. I just think it's a matter of having more of those support systems. And you guys at Energy Therapy are doing a fantastic job. So thank you for that. Yeah, that really makes me very happy.
Thank you. It makes me happy too. And thank you for your wonderful blessings and feedback. And we'll connect very soon again, like I said, and we'll get this podcast out so people can actually, you can listen to it and get the value from it, the benefit from it. And, you know, I wish you a beautiful rest of your day, Swamiji.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jamie. Namaste.
Yeah. Namaste. God bless. Bye.